This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is indeed 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. My name is Deboma 40. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It's a beautiful sunny day all the way in Joburg. I must say, it actually sounds different being in this country. Only to think, dude, you know what? Being all the way in Ethiopia, my brother, the sun has been hot, you know, and things are happening on a different pace there. You know, I always say it takes you being out of your country to actually realize and appreciate your country. Come to think of it, Bulelani.
No, definitely. You know, there, when you're talking about being, it's so glad being in a whole new country or being back in the country. Started thinking about a conversation I had with one gentleman about how Cape Town shouldn't even be a part of South Africa because it's got a European feel going on. And I know that you've been in Cape Town for quite a while. So, nah, man, I'm happy to be in studio 360 Biz. We're back in business.
Welcome, my brother. You were in Durban last week, huh? We missed you, man. Right?
Nah, man, I was going to fetch something nice. I'll show you outside in Durban that I ordered, yeah.
I hope you met some amazing people there, though.
Nah, definitely, Joe. The people in Pinetown are amazing. I'm thinking, actually, in time to look into property that side, actually.
Really?
I mean, I loved it. I mean, I was there Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Well, I was flying in and out. I think I did about two flights, return flights on Tuesday, morning and evening. And then Friday, I flew down and then I drove back. So it was pretty nice, Joe. And so then, you know what, nah? just to cut you off there, I did a talk in Vryheid.
In Vryheid.
Yeah, Vryheid.
Not Vryheid. Vryheid.
And I mean, you know what? It was at a school. And it was such a beautiful thing, Joe, how the principal was so connected to what the young people wanted. And the young kids loved the principal. Of all the school talks I've ever done, or the voluntary talks, or whatever the case is, I've never seen young people that love their culture so much. Zulu people, man.
Mm. So are you saying that because you're Zulu?
No, I'm saying I'm closer. I wish I was Zulu. I love speaking Zulu. But I mean, those guys are so cultured. But I'm happy to be back in Joburg, ready to work, business. Yeah.
No, I mean, Khosa, my man, has got some beautiful people, man. Like the
Nelson
woman
Mandela
that we have right next to you, dude.
Mono.
You
know? I'm Zulu.
Oh, hey, yeah. When Dumoho says, sets you up for failure and then egg spills all over your face.
No, like I said, with the Zulu Nation have got some beautiful people, like the person sitting next to you, and you say Molo.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You look kind of Xhosa, but not the Zirayithi girls type of Xhosa, they're different.
No, I'm 100% Zulu.
Yeah, you're 100% Zulu. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the voice of Sis Nobuhle Nkosi. Some of you might have, you might know of Sis Nobuhle Nkosi, because this is actually the second time that we're having you on the show. Sis Nobuhle Nkosi is the financial head Lions Africa. He's the head of Financial Lions Africa for because I was corrected with that.
It's Allianz Global Corporate and Specialty Africa.
But I hear it means the same thing as Allianz.
No, it's Allianz. So some people say Alliance, some people say but it's pronounced Allianz.
Oh, Allianz.
Yes.
Allianz Global Corporate and Specialty. Sis Nobuhle, welcome to Cliff Central. Do you want to say hi to our listeners once more?
Thank you, Dumoho. Hi to all the listeners. It's thank you for inviting me on the show again.
Oh, okay. How? Kanjalo.
Show again now. Like, I'm sure.
Well, I'm happy. You know what? I'm really happy and excited to be on the show again. You know, the last time we had a really exciting conversation, and you know, we sort of did a deep dive on cyber. So today we will touch on it, but we're also looking at it from a broader perspective. So yeah, definitely looking forward to the show.
Oh, okay. Happy New Year, by the way, because this
is
the first time we've seen
you. Happy New Year.
And you know these corporate busy women, my man, they don't even send you messages to say Happy New Year or to say Merry Christmas and whatsoever. But they'll be asking you about money in January.
Well, Happy New Year to you too. All the best for 2016.
No, definitely. Thank you very much. It is going to be definitely a brilliant year. I've got no doubt about this one. I've got somebody else that just walked into studio. You know, dude, it's actually interesting when you're seeing a TV presenter coming on to the show late. I don't know how that works, you know. Especially for a person that is used to being in studio. This is my brother, Tumi Ramonotsi. Tumi Ramonotsi is a business analyst Sitomia, how are you? Do you want to say hi to our listeners?
Couldn't you, Tebogo, hi to your listeners. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, okay. No, it's good to have you here. Yeah. You can relax, untie your tie a bit.
Yeah.
You'll tie it back when we start getting in the midst of things or later on the show. I thought today on the show, Bulelani, let's talk about risk. Obviously, you know, being a new year, and obviously a lot of businesses are looking at you know, ways on how they could prevent risk and, you know, how they could actually overcome certain risk that they face in business. Because one thing I've realized as well, there's two types of risk. There's risk that will profit you, and there's risk that will cost you.
Yeah.
Which one do you prefer?
Definitely prepare. I'm still tuning into January. I'm still in December mode. Yeah. No, man, I definitely prefer the one that is going to put me in a position where I'm able to gain more funds and money. Definitely. And I mean, I was having a conversation with one gentleman just the other day about the very same thing. And because we're developing KPIs for my staff members, because we've got a large intake of quite a few new individuals coming on board.
You're developing KPIs, my brother. There's people that are listening. They don't even know what KPI is. Hmm? It's Kasi, Pap, and Place, or what?
I mean, key performance indicators.
I mean,
some of the tools with the KPIs and the KPIs that we'll be able to utilize to measure the output. And matters such as risk came up when we're doing an audit, but we're still busy with it, of the company.
Okay.
In terms of what is it, what's that one or three things that if they happen today would shut your business down? So there's quite a variable amount of things that we had to look at, because I mean, we're in business, I mean, and I've been doing this for quite a while now, and you know that for the most part as entrepreneurs we're taken over by the need to go out there, sell a service and get funds in, you know, reduce your cost of sales, I mean, increase your gross profit margins. Those are the things that you focus on. But things like risk, sometimes you don't focus on, like the compliance. So which I think that it's very, very important for us as young entrepreneurs that are coming up
to
get the knowledge that these amazing yellow bones, yo, they are yellow. Mm. The studio just lit up. I'm sorry.
you're the only one that's dark, you know. No. What you're saying, it's actually true and valid, Bulelani. And one thing I love is that since Nobuhle, obviously, he's going to be the one that will be guiding us, obviously, with a discussion of risk. But more than anything, since Nobuhle, do you want to perhaps tell us what or who is Alliance Global Corporate and Specialty?
Alliance Global Corporate and Specialty is a division within the Allianz Group, which is an insurance company that is headquartered in Germany.
Okay.
So as AGCS, that's the acronym for Global Corporate and Specialty.
Okay.
We basically focus on insurance for corporate clients. That would be mainly sort of listed companies and sort of a tier down. And yeah, we do various insurance products, which, you know, we've spoken about previously, but that's pretty much sums up what we do. So in terms of speaking about risk, we on a yearly basis, we do a survey which is called the Allianz Risk Barometer. And this year, for 2016, we did it, and we had about 800 participants from about 44 countries. And it basically just does a deep dive on matters that in impact on companies with regards to their risk. So what keeps directors up at night? So what's interesting this year is that we actually have results from specifically from South Africa. So I'll touch on that a bit later on the show as with regards to what came up and, you know, what are the top risks that South African clients feel, you know, are a great risk for them.
No, definitely. I will definitely come back to that. There's a couple of things that I was reading about the top business risk for South African appearing for the very first time with cyber incidents. But more than anything, let me come to you. Dumi, do you want to tell us what is it that you do?
I'm a business analyst. I analyze business processes. I work predominantly with project managers in trying to realize the objectives that a particular company would want to reach with a particular solution or with a particular project. So what I primarily do is come in at the first stage. And let's say most probably it's in a project management life cycle, I'd come in and define the requirements that the client would want or the particular business, the requirements that they want. Or I'd come and define the entire life cycle for that specific project, whether it be a project or company, identify risks, identify objectives, identify everything that pertain to the success of that project. So primarily that's what I do. Okay. Analysis.
Bulelan, I think we have the right people in studio. What do you think?
No, definitely. And I mean, you can just hear the wisdom oozing out. They haven't even said much, but you can just hear. But I mean, I definitely would be interested to hear what you guys have to share, especially around risk, so that one can walk out of here empowered. And I'm sure the hundreds and thousands of listeners that we have will also walk out feeling empowered, because that's the stuff that we need. Because everybody tells you about the glory, but no one tells you about the risk element, where you actually have to spend time fixing that up.
No, definitely. If you ever, you're listening out there, you want to join in on the discussion, you can tune in or even give us a call. The number is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is at Cliff Central. Call me on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. My Facebook what handle it's DoubleHomer40, and I'm on Twitter as well. It's at DoubleHomer40. Instagram, it's DoubleHomer40 as well. Everything is just DoubleHomer40. Mr. Bala?
Everything is DoubleHomer40.
Yeah, everything.
It's Bulelani at Bulelani Bala.
Okay.
Twitter and Facebook, and then Bulelani Bala Bala for Facebook.
Oh, okay. Is this Nobuhle?
It's at Nobuhle underscore Nkosi.
At
for everything.
Or at Nobuhle underscore Nkosi. You see people that know, you know, what I know. Tumza?
For myself, it's Tumi Ramonotsi. I think people can really, well, spell that. But it's Ramonotsi. Tumi Ramonotsi. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, even Pinit.
No, definitely. So, Nobuhle, tell me, what are the key findings of the 2016 Alliance Risk Barometer?
So in terms of key findings, it was quite interesting to see cyber incidents coming up as number one with regards to South Africa. But we're also seeing things like business interruption, changes in legislation is posing as a big risk to companies, macroeconomic developments, and power blackouts, as well as political risks and new technologies.
Okay, so now tell me, I mean, in regards to you spoke of legislator there. Do you want to perhaps give us a bit of detail what is affecting us as far as legislator is concerned?
So if you look at the regulatory landscape in South Africa particularly, it's quite clear that, you know, the regulators are sort of becoming more and more robust. If you look at, for example, the financial services industry, we know that that is one of the most highly regulated financial services industries in the world, you know. And if you look at cyber in specifically, then you'd be looking at things like POPI, the Protection of Personal Information, which will be soon coming into law. But we can clearly see that the regulators are moving in one direction, and that one direction is to, you know, heavily regulate. So companies are now sort of under the risk of not being compliant, you know, and that's why this has sort of come up in the top three.
Yeah, Bulelani, the issue of POPI, the Protection of Personal Information Act. We actually had a show last year around that. That thing is hectic. And the most interesting thing, if you remember, Sis Nobuhle, what we asked is that first and second world countries, it takes about 3 years for compliance to take place. Whereas in our country, it's a year. So, and one thing is that, I mean, there's a lot of small business that don't know about the complications coming in of the POPI Act. I mean, maybe one of the things, I mean, do me, have you heard about that?
Yeah, POPI is quite a big one. It's a compliance. I mean, if you look at the penalties that come with POPI, it's something around 10 million.
Yes, 10 million.
For a specific company, that's E&Y suggestions to say that if you don't comply, the penalty, once the regulator has been established, which would be in March this year, it would be something like 10 million.
Yes.
For a fine for not complying with the 7 conditions of POPI. That's how dangerous it is for companies.
Yeah. No, I mean, Sis Nobuhle, there's somebody that is asking to on the SMS to say, we hear you speaking about POPI. What is this POPI? That do you want to probably quickly take us through?
So POPI is the the Protection of Personal Information Act, mm-hmm. which will be soon coming into effect. It was signed into law in 2013. And basically, it is to protect personal information of individuals and companies. And it's sort of following the global trends because, you know, we've seen it in the US, we've seen it in Europe, mm-hmm. and so we're slowly catching up into that. But basically, it's just to put a onus on companies to protect the data of personal information of individuals that they hold. Because as you know, a lot of companies do actually hold highly personal information. Now, you know, the regulator is saying that if you do have this information, then you need to ensure that it is secure and it is protected.
But now, don't you guys think that it's putting more of a red tape on small businesses? I mean, my brother, you are an owner of a small business.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, how does this affect a small business? Like the poppy.
It would affect a small business the same way it would affect a JSE listed company. It's basically regulation, it's compliance. You as a small business would also need to ensure that the private information that you hold of your customers is secure and protected.
Like for instance, when you talk about private information, you're referring to the personal details that belong to an individual. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, if you have 10 employees or if you have 100 employees, whichever size your business is, the importance or the responsibility to protect that information lies with you, the owner. So if you misplace that information, if you have an HR system which is not compliant to POPI in its whichever ways of collecting the data, securing the data, and disposing the data, because what companies do is that they hold the data of individuals even though they are not working there anymore. That's why it's surprising that you would find a call from a telemarketer saying, hey, could you please buy this product? Why? Mm-hmm. Because company can sell information to these telemarketers. So POPI is trying to cover that gap in between to say that your information is protected. You know that as you leave a company, your information is terminated.
So now, as a consumer, with the POPI Act, if I now get a call from a telemarketer, how do I now trace it to that particular company that gave off the information? Is there such a way of tracing the info where I ask the telemarketer, where'd you get my information from?
Usually with telemarketers, they don't divulge who has shared the information.
No, they don't. Yeah.
That's how smart they are. They would not, because they have bought that information, and the contracts of, in the agreements that they have is not to divulge that they sold.
They sign an anti-disclosure agreement. Mm.
Definitely. Mm.
Yeah. Yes, they do. But just to sort of give it another spin, so in terms of the protection of personal information, it doesn't only come from a regulator. It would also come from third parties. So the affected people that whose data has been breached also have, you know, the right to institute legal proceeding against you.
So yeah, no. So I think maybe it's a question of maybe one of the things that I think we need to do maybe as later on the year, maybe let's revisit, especially when we're heading towards March. The discussion of POPI, so that we put emphasis on it.
Definitely.
So, because it's something that is definitely off key. I mean, right now, so right now, in terms of Sisnobuhle, what are the leading key business risks in South Africa and Africa in total?
So we've mentioned a little bit about cyber, but with regards to cyber particularly, we're seeing an increase in cyber crime. I mean, we went over the stats last year, if you remember. I said it costs the economy, the global economy, about almost $500 billion in terms of cyber crimes. But we're also seeing, you know, we're seeing that hackers are becoming more and more sophisticated by the day, you know. Just to give you guys an example, I went to a cyber conference last year in Botswana.
Okay.
And so one of the presenters was what we call ethical hackers, and he basically showed us a video of a Jeep being hacked. So it was a team of three of them, mm-hmm. and so they remotely hacked into this Jeep. So one of them was driving it, and the other two were at home on a laptop, and they basically just took over the control of the car. You know, they could switch the engine off. They could control the steering wheel.
What?
They basically deactivated the brakes while the guy was driving. So it just shows you the level of sophistication of hackers. I mean, you can Google it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. I'm sure that video is on YouTube. But you know, you can Google it.
No, you must give us the heading or whatever, so that we definitely.
I mean, when I
that.
Saw that, I was, you know, I was, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. So yeah, Google it and have a look at it. But it basically just highlights that, you know, the key exposures. And if you look at business interruption, so this is the number one risk that came out at a global level, and it's come out number one at for the fourth consecutive time in the risk barometer. So we definitely see that clients are starting to recognize the fact that business interruption. So business interruption, just to elaborate on it, is when something happens, property damage, yeah. Say a fire or an explosion happens, and you cannot do business. So obviously, on a daily basis, you're going to be losing out on profits. So that would be business interruption insurance. So we're starting to see that.
So the way it's so Leonard, you're saying business interruption, but it's like she's saying something else. Like,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So I hope my explanation of it was you could understand.
Yes, it's because I could get you. That's what you meant.
So we're starting to see. The values definitely increasing. That's because you know, the actual risk is evolving. We're starting to see that you know, the natural catastrophes, fire and explosion, are definitely coming out top. We're starting to see that from a cyber perspective, the business interruption element is also increasing. I mean, if you look at specific industries like utilities, power plants, and things like that, if you can imagine that if there's a breakdown of the plant, mm-hmm. And there's physical damage, how long it would take to restore it back to operation. Or if there's a cyber attack specifically on a power plant and they shut the system down, you can imagine how difficult it would be to obviously try and trace that and be able to get it back into operation. So we're also seeing, you know, the supply chain element of business interruption, because it doesn't only come from your operations being affected, but also those of your suppliers. You know, so we're starting to see that as a risk, particularly with regards to the, you know, the political landscape, where, you know, in certain countries there's some political instabilities as well as sanctions imposed and things like that. So that's what has come up with regards to business interruption. But then another interesting one, I think, for South Africa, you know, given our current macroeconomic conditions, you know, there's a lot of volatility in the markets. You know, the economy has slowed down. The growth of the economy has slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're looking at a, you know, 0.7% this year. Then we're also seeing, you know, an increase in commodity prices, which is certainly not a positive, you know, factor for businesses currently. So there's quite a few macroeconomic conditions that are impacting, you know, clients and their performance. And then the other one would be blackouts. You know, we don't need to discuss that any further. We all know about that issue.
But Eskom have been kind lately.
Yeah, I mean,
a blackout today.
No, but I mean, it is getting better, and you know, we are hopeful that, you know, they'll come to a solution that will be sustainable. And then the other one that's quite interesting is also the new technologies, you know,
disruptive technologies,
particularly because if you look at the competitiveness of business, you're getting new disruptive technologies, you know, you're getting startup companies that they think out of the box, you know, they follow the agile methodology, and they're giving traditional business a run for their money, because they're coming with business models that can basically do the same job at half the cost. So that's, you know, that's one thing that companies need to, you know, start looking out for. They also need
In fact, speaking of looking out, Dumza, you're a business analyst. Your job is to come up with systems, my brother, to be protecting companies. I mean, right now, I mean, it's an interesting fact that you've made mention of in terms of interrupting technologies. I mean, in terms of now a business analyst, I mean, what would you say are some of, I mean, the risk that businesses should be on the lookout for?
I think if you subsegment a business, you'd have to look at the entirety of the business and start with what is it actually that's a risk? Because if you define a risk or a business risk, you're talking about an occurrence or an activity in the company that implies or suggests that you will not gain the profits that you are looking out to gain as a company. So in definition, that's what a business risk is. And then if you sub-segment the categories of risk, you're talking about five kinds of risks, which every company will be different to, well, for each and every company. So you're referring to a strategic risk. Those are risks associated with your objectives, with your company's whatever ethics and values that it stands for. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about the compliance risk. I think we have covered that partially with regards to the legislative risks that we have been talking about, the poppy. And then you're referring to the financial risk. Like, for instance, if you have one customer that is, well, if you have one client, for instance, that is bringing in the money into the business, then it's a financial risk, because if you cut that deal as a small business, you don't have anything to deal with.
Yes.
And then you're talking about other risks, the other two subcategories of risk. You're talking about reputational risk. And then, reputation is just obvious. As a company, small businesses, entrepreneurs are trying to build a brand. So anything that de-associates your brand with productivity, with progress, with service delivery and so forth, with I'm out there to actually build a brand, anything is, well, related to those kinds of risk would be subcategorized as a reputational risk.
That's true. No, but I think maybe let's probably cross over. I mean, to I've got a brother that comes all the way from Ghana. John, he's a businessman. I mean, he's a servant. He's a person that sees the difference and potential in a lot of young people. Mr. Aya, how are you, my brother?
I'm very well, my brother. How are you?
No, good. Thanks, man. Do you want to start by saying hi to the listeners of Cliff Central? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Oh, good evening, South Africa. God bless you. My name is John Ayayi from Ghana. I love to see people grow and love to see people attain their potential. For me, that is my desire. So that is what I do. No, thank you.
No, definitely. Welcome to South Africa, by the way. Hopefully you're enjoying our weather.
Yes, I'm sitting somewhere fantastic. I can see your mountains in Drakensberg.
Yeah, I know. Some people are working very nice. Some of us are wearing suits and ties here, and you're sitting in Drakensberg watching mountains while doing business. No, definitely. John, I mean, we've been talking about risk around business in South Africa and Africa as a whole. You coming from Ghana, I mean, what would you say are some of the risks that affect business in Ghana? Though?
Well, I think number one is perception. When we start businesses, first of all, as believers or whoever, when you start a business, it's what you believe that drives the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, we need to understand that the number one risk is your belief in what you're about to do.
Okay.
So, if you were coming from God's perspective, which is what I believe that we should all be coming from, because He's the one who created us and knows what He instilled in everybody and what they should do,
mm-hmm.
then you should be coming from His perspective.
Okay.
So, what is God telling me to do? What do I feel like I'm doing? And you can question. So, that's number one. Perception is number one.
Okay.
And after you receive that, planning to ensure that is done. Planning from A to B, because it is said that you cannot build a house until you've counted the entire cost.
Mm.
Now, the cost doesn't necessarily mean that you know every detail, but at least you understand the journey and every obstacle, every law that governs a business.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we assume that people have succeeded, and so when we embark on the same journey, we'll succeed. But there are laws that govern every trade, there are instructions that you need to follow, there are markets that you need to invade. So I think for Africans or for Ghanaians generally, those are these two things are the main things that will cripple us. Because you and I know for a fact that if your business is bankable, then people will invest in it. Or if your business carries what the solutions that is bringing, then people will back it with whatever resources that you need.
Mm.
So for me, these are the two things. So it comes, it just boils down to understanding the wisdom behind the business. And then having the understanding to actually actualize this business. That is from the personal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the environmental perspective, we have leaders or elders that do not want young people to succeed. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, that one is it's a serious problem. We're also experiencing that in South Africa. One thing that I've always said as well is that as young people, we lack mentors. But didn't mean to disturb. You can continue.
Yeah. So there are older people that see young people as a risk. Whereas if we have mentors, like you put it, who can actually say, you know what, for the sustainability of what I have started, I need to train somebody to take over.
Yes,
then they start opening doors for you. So then you don't repeat the mistakes that they repeated because they feed you information. You go through the experience, but at least you have some example to look at to be able to address the issues that you are encountering in your business. So you will go through challenges faster than they did. You know, but unfortunately, because of colonialism, our mindsets have been taught to always suppress others so we can go ahead.
So, go ahead. No, I'm saying what you're saying is like we sometimes our own risk as young people.
Exactly. No, well, sometimes we are our own risk. And I was coming to that as the second point after the elders. The second point is, as young people, I don't see why we are competing with one another, especially coming from a continent that has so much potential. There is enough for everybody to do and to get somewhere, so there's no need to compete. If we don't share ideas. We think Facebook is enough, but if we don't share ideas, you cannot have... It's difficult to find 10 young men who understand that they need to get somewhere, and so the 10 of them should sit together and bring all their resources and skills together.
That is so true.
To develop a plan, a very robust plan, and embark on it and succeed together. No, you can't get it. Worst case, or the best you get, is people who have succeeded already, who will say, okay, well, at this point, we think we need to help others. But even them, they will struggle to help others because they will not be able to get young people together, because it's the same problem. It's just a cycle. Mm. We'll come together and say, okay, let's sit down and present this plan to John Ayayi, because probably he can help us get finance. So you rather find people who have wealth or young men who have made it in life chasing people to bring them ideas to invest in.
Yeah. So then right now, I mean, in our country, we've got, I mean, right now, a couple of policies and legislature that are coming into effect that are more like putting red tape for people to do business in South Africa. Are you guys having the same problem in Ghana?
Well, we are not having that. Are you referring to the BEE or is that another?
No, I mean, BEE is a policy as well that has come into effect. We've got another one.
Laws are not enough. Laws are not enough. You and I know that if you tell your child or if you tell somebody, you restrict somebody from doing something, it takes their own self-discipline to maintain that law. Otherwise, when you turn around, they'll do what they wanted to do anyway. So laws are not enough. I think it's more of a mindset problem. We must come to the point that we know that unless we have to come together to achieve what we need to achieve, we have to share ideas, we have to trust one another, we have to even... The ultimate goal is to ensure that people have a good life, people have a healthy life, others are happy. Because when you sell a solution is when you make profit. And I'm not talking about financial profit. I'm talking about emotional profit. I'm talking about mental profit. Elevating somebody from a place of obscurity to a place of success is what I call profit. Yeah. The body, soul, and mind.
Yeah, I mean, you made something very interesting. A point that is very interesting when it comes to the issue of trust. I know that right now, in especially in South Africa, I mean, they call us the gateway to Africa. But right now, we've opened, I think, our doors for a couple of people to come do business in South Africa. But it's not the same in terms of us going into other African countries. Obviously, it goes back to the issue of trust, that if ever you're not coming from my own country, I'm more likely to trust you than the one that comes in my own country. I mean, what would you say to somebody that is listening out there that wants to be doing business in Ghana, want to be doing business in Kenya or any other African countries?
Well, I would say you have to focus on what you want. To build trust, it takes time because of, obviously, people's experiences. It takes time to build trust. People have been through what they've been through. People are shaped because of the experiences. So if I decide to come and do business in South Africa, I have to be sure that my values are what I find in the next person before I embark on whatever business I want to do.
Okay.
Now, you will argue with me that people can hide themselves behind behind certain cliches or certain images just to get you in so they can rob you. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But you will always get a hint. And so when you start crossing boundaries, don't limit yourself to just profiteering. Don't limit yourself to just making exorbitant amount of monies, or investigate the person. Okay, have your own protocols that you can use to investigate the people.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out properly. I mean, you and I are friends now, and so if you even came to Ghana, I don't expect that you just give me $1 million to do business. If you did, because of the spirit that I have in me, by God's grace, I wouldn't abuse you. But if you did that, then you stand to be abused. But you should also check me. Have your own checkpoint.
Yes, it's true.
Okay? Check in every facet of life, every sphere of life. I mean, body, soul, and spirit. Because how can two work together unless they agree? You need that aspect.
Mm-mm-mm. No, no, definitely. Before I actually let you go, we usually close off the show in style. We usually like to say people should give about a 60 to 30 second word of inspiration to somebody that's listening out there. What would be yours today?
Well, I would say that Africa is up for grabs. Africa is ready for young people or generation to take over. And so please, Africa, let's stand together. Let's come together. Let's develop Africa together for Africa, because Africa is ours. We have nowhere to go. That's all I have to say.
Wow.
And no, the Lord is ready to help us.
No, definitely. No, that's powerful, my brother. No, thanks a lot for your taking your time out of looking at the mountains to actually have a discussion with us.
Thank you.
No, definitely. Dumza, you are still making a very important point. Before we connected to John. John is saying something very interesting. He's speaking of trust, especially when we're needing to be going to Africa. Right now, it's something that I'm going to want Snobutle to add into. But now, what is the importance of systems? Because right now you realize that there's a lot of companies that don't have systems out there.
If you look at the technological suggestions for companies that are out there, vary from product to product. If you look at solutions that are available, whether it be you just wanting to conduct business with other companies outside of South Africa,
mm-hmm.
they vary. I think companies should sit down, whether it's small business, whether it's seeing an opportunity out there, or whether it is a young entrepreneur wanting to do business outside, because Africa is a complex system. You know, the business climate in Africa is quite a complex one. For instance, if you look at Nigeria and the whole MTN story, which was a big one, it seeks to suggest that there are unfinished businesses or unfinished perceptions that are not clarified between these two countries, South Africa and Nigeria. So from a system perspective, from a technological perspective, companies always ought to sit down and strategically plan what their intentions are with regards to the party that they're entering into business with. There's usually, when you do strategic business management, there's usually a suggestion that is coming strongly for companies is to always consider the idea of mobility.
Okay.
Mobility will always suggest that traveling is minimized. Mobility will suggest so when companies sit down and draw up what we call a CIO strategy or an IT strategy, or as it used to be called, mobility would be top of the list. That would include the occurrences, as my fellow colleague said, the occurrences of disruptive technology, the occurrences of cyber crimes that are happening, because you have a mobility strategy that is looking at each and every possibility of minimizing costs of doing trade with people outside of the country.
You're the one that I know, you're always flying in and out of the country, and obviously you guys, I mean, being Alliance Risk, I mean, last time before the show started, we spoke about how you guys did a media briefing in Nigeria. What would you say are some of the difficulties or the challenges of doing business in Africa though?
Okay, so as you know, we don't just do business in South Africa. We oversee the entire continent. And we do travel extensively to all the other African countries. And, you know, Africa, we're really passionate about Africa, and we want to grow within the whole of Africa. I would say the challenge is that Africa is a huge continent. And Africa is, you know, a continent, not a country. Because sometimes we, or the world rather, will sort of look at Africa and sort of put it in the same blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we've experienced and what our approach is as Allianz is that we look at each and every country differently. You know, we like to get an understanding of, you know, what's going on in the country, you know, what are the rules of engagement, what are the laws that are applicable to that country, and also, you know, on a human level to interact with the people, you know, on the ground, okay, the way that, you know, they would like to interact or they would like to do business. So I wouldn't say it's much riskier than anywhere else to do business in Africa, but I would say it's certainly different. And there are risks that, you know, are sort of predominant within the continent, some of which I've mentioned in with regards to South Africa,
yeah, no,
that
definitely,
you know, it applies, yeah, to the other countries. But it's certainly an interesting time, you know, with regards to doing business in the continent. And I mean, I see, you know, a great potential for growth,
mm-hmm,
not just risk, as we've just been talking about.
Yeah. So then, I mean, as Allianz, what I mean, you earlier on you said you're in the business of insurance.
Yes.
And obviously, right now, you guys, I mean, having to be, even doing a media briefing around the twinning Allianz risk parameters and whatsoever. Obviously, I'd like to think that you guys deal with risk, obviously, as an insurance company. But I mean, what would you say are some of the offerings that you guys are doing, so that obviously companies out there that want to prevent themselves or get themselves secured, for anything that might happen?
So one of the main reasons why we do the risk barometer is for us to get a deeper understanding of the risks that our clients are faced with.
Okay.
So that when we're coming up with insurance solutions, you know, we can be better positioned to be able to look at them in a holistic
view. So you look
view
at the need and
we
say,
look at
we
the need of the clients
need,
and
we shall touch them.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's certainly risks. Risk are emerging and they change constantly.
Okay.
So we as insurance companies need to keep up with that to make sure, you know, that we stay relevant. So as Allianz Global Corporate, you know, we offer a wide range of insurance products, cyber protection being one of them. But we also do property insurance that covers companies' physical assets, and the business interruption part of it, which I mentioned earlier. We do marine, which would be, you know, the cargo and the hull, and goods in transit and things like that.
Mm.
We do liability insurance, which mainly focuses on third parties, bodily injury and property damage. We do financial lines, which is my area, the area that I oversee. And we've got various products within that. We cover directors and officers against liability that may arise,
mm-hmm,
as their duties of, you know, overseeing a company, their fiduciary duties as directors. We do also commercial crime. And if you look at the risk barometer, one of the things that came up is the risk of fraud and theft.
Oh, yes.
So we've got an insurance product which basically covers the company against employees stealing or defrauding the company.
Mm. We need that one, Budena.
Very interesting.
So now tell me, I mean, are you guys strictly for corporate or big business, or do you guys accommodate SMEs?
Our main focus is corporate, but we do have a division within Allianz that focuses, it's called MidCorp, and that focuses on sort of MidCorp and SME companies. We do have a solution for the smaller companies, but it would traditionally be sort of more a package insurance solution where the things that are mentioned are sort of packaged into one policy.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly do have solutions for SME and mid-corp size companies.
So well, roughly, I mean, for something that is well packaged for an SME, how much would you be paying?
As an underwriter, I'm not in a position to answer that question because I would have to look at the risk and assess it.
Oh, okay. So you guys are an underwriter?
Yes. So underwriting is basically the risk assessment and pricing, yeah, of a risk within the insurance. Yeah.
Do me, let's start an insurance company, but looking for a small business and, you know.
We actually need such in South Africa.
Yeah, we've got, yeah, an underwriter here. You'll underwrite, yeah, us. We've got a marketer. You'll market us. You know, you'll come up with systems.
No, we need an insurance company. Totally, fully black owned. insurance company. That's what we need in South Africa.
No, definitely. Basically, from there, we come still people.
What you need is the Allianz solutions, because they are comprehensive.
Okay.
And we have a very strong balance sheet.
Okay.
You know, our solvency is one of the highest in the world.
Wow.
So we're in a position where, you know, we pay claims.
Mm. Yeah. So how long have you guys been in existence?
We've been in the country since the 60s.
Mm.
So we've been in the continent quite a while. But with regards to the corporate offering, we've been around since 2012.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Tumza, I mean, in terms of now, some of the systems that you're speaking about implementing, is how important it is to have insurance, and in terms of setting up your company?
Usually when you talk about insurance, you're referring to a financial component within a financial expertise within each and every company. So, for instance, a company would sit down, CFOs would sit down and actually determine what systems they actually need that would comply with whatever products they would have bought outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if a company is doing its business through HSBC, which is a bank, a company would implement internally a system which is compliant with the policies of HSBC, which is compliant with the legislative policies that pertain to the country that they're operating in, whether it's South Africa or Zambia or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So from a system point of view, the system is always informed by the requirements that the business analyst would gather, or the respective person would gather, so as to build that system. So it's not always a packaged solution, like when you and I'm trying my best not to mention product names, when you refer to SAP, which is quite a huge consulting firm, which has a whole lot of products. So it's not usually that easily to take an off-shelf program and put it in your company.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal way for a whole lot of companies, because in fact, thinking about the complexities that exist in our economy, you'd literally would want to sit down as a company and employ someone to actually do analysis in the entire whatever portion of the business process it is, to actually come up with a system. So it's not an off-shelf company, put it in, an off-shelf program, put it in, and then it works. It's usually a long process.
Yeah.
In IT terms, they call it the SDLC life cycle. I think you have heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Being governed by Prince 2 methodology.
Yeah. Mm, no, my brother, we haven't heard about those things.
No, definitely not. I mean, and I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, how accessible or affordable is such information for SMMEs and township entrepreneurs?
Usually, to be honest with you, it's easier to research, you know. But what I found about research is that you can be so, you know, lost in the research, because there's a whole lot of things. From an accessibility point of view, going at the right people, you know, to get the right information, knowing exactly what it is that you want, it would be. I think I can avail myself if you would need such, because primarily for small businesses, the idea, and that's what I'm getting from my sister, the idea is to have a packaged approach, because your complexities would be those kinds of complexities that we try and deal with as quickly as possible, than rather focusing on a big company which has a whole lot of contracts, a whole lot of other things. But the importance is to, when we focus at SMEs, we have a specialized approach of giving a product that is specific, or giving advice, and in my instance, that is specific to your needs.
Mm. Mm. You must have.
I'm thinking just that we need to talk after this.
No, definitely. Mamukosi, how do people get more information that want to either take on an insurance product, or even want to go through the parameter themselves? When can they get hold of the information?
They can get a hold of us on our website, www.allianz.com.
Okay.
All the information is available there.
Can you give us the website again?
www.allianz.com.
www.allianz.com. Social media again before we let you go?
I can't remember what the the social media, Twitter handle is, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. Tumza, people get hold of you on social media, right?
Definitely. For business purposes, I'd like to use my LinkedIn profile because it detailifies experience, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out dumi.ramonotsi, and then if you like what you see, most probably we can meet and talk advisory.
Okay. No, guys, since you know that we're always closing off the show in style, what will be your word of inspiration to someone that is listening out there? Okay, they always say ladies first. Let's start with the gents.
Actually, you caught me off guard. I'm trying to think, what is it that I actually would want to say to young people?
Oh, okay. No, let's Bulelani can start.
Get things done. That's it.
Okay. So
sorry.
The advice that I would have for companies in general is just to maintain a very proactive risk management approach,
mm-hmm.
To sort of, you know, keep abreast with regards to risk trends, and you know, where a company feels that they cannot retain the risk themselves, then look at alternative risk solutions such as insurance, which, you know, is where we would come in. But just have a proactive risk approach, be on top of your risk, and also just, you know, keep abreast of trends, business trends.
Oh, okay. My brother?
Actually, my parting words would be Africa's open for business.
Africa is open.
I certainly agree with that statement.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, for a person that as well just came into the country, I agree to that. Africa is definitely open for business. If you don't want to be broke, you've got to put up and be busy and get out there and get business done. There's nothing wrong with going out there and seeking opportunities, because definitely opportunities won't come knocking for you. I'm closing with a note and a quote from my brother Bulelani, Mr. Get Things Done. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Deborah Mafodi. I'm out.
Today we're talking about keeping hope up. Keeping hope up is very important when you've got a clear vision for where you are going, because you're going to undertake challenges and a lot of ridicule. As a visionary, you live 20 years into the future, and people don't readily understand right now what you are going through. Hope is the motivation that keeps you going. Hope is your aspiration. Hope is the dreaming. Hope is the fuel that keeps the engine going. Sometimes you allow the challenges of life to bring you down. Well, this journey that you are on is not an easy one. And I can guarantee you now, any powerful and wealthy person that you look up to can tell you that they underwent a lot of challenges. There's always going to be a lot of pain, a lot of pushing, a lot of anger, a lot of strife before there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The question is, are you willing to hold on a little bit longer? Your hope will always be challenged whenever you start living your vision and your dream. Understanding this, that you might not be where you want to be in life, and you might not have achieved some of the things that you were hoping to achieve right now. But this is the classic story of the rabbit and the turtle. It is not about how quick you get to the finish line, but it's all about the quality of the journey and some of the lessons that you have learned in the journey that will render you a wise person. Stop being hard on yourself. When's the last time you congratulated you for taking initiative? Why is it that of all the people that are proud of you, you are the one who is the least proud of you? Those are some of the things that kill your hope. But I need you guys today to keep your hope up. Be motivated and keep your hope up. Haters will hate and talkers will talk, but I need you to keep the hope up. So whether you have lost a loved one or are suffering the insurmountable pain of the challenges that you are undergoing, I need you to boldly walk up to your mirror, smile, and congratulate yourself on this awesome day that you are going to have. And I need you to know that everything is going to be all right. Keep hope up. My name is Bulelani Balabala, and I'm all about getting things done.
Keeping it real. On CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.